Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepard.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello, 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 everybody. How's it going out there? We got a lot going on. Another big show for the next 4 hours. We are live and local from 2 to 6 every weekday right here in your backyard, Southwest Florida. Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. I would be Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard.
Yep.
I see Chris is here today. I heard at the top, nobody won the Mega Millions. That includes him. He informed us yesterday he would not be here today had he won. So it's good to see you, Chris, but I'm sorry you're not, you know, overly wealthy.
No, that's not what I said.
Didn't you say that yesterday?
24 hours.
24 hours
giving
notice?
Everybody in this building 24 hours to find my replacement.
Now, would you come in and do work or would you kind of roam the halls and gloat?
No, I would roam the halls, gloat, probably I'll buy a bunch of stuff. There's nothing for sale in here, but I'd buy it.
Yeah?
Go up to people, how much you want for the watch.
Really? Wow. All right.
And then, yeah, I'd press buttons back here and talk for a few minutes, but on the whole, I'd be checked out. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Pete Shepard, I know $868 million wasn't on the table at poker night last night. As usual, you made it further into the evening as I did. How did we do last night?
Bubble of the final. There was two of us that got knocked out 10th around the exact same time. So it was tough because I was knocking out people. If I was collecting bounties last night, I would have had five. Four in the first hour.
You were eliminating people.
I think my set of ducks knocked out three people in one hand. That's twos. That's
wow.
Three twos, by the way.
Set of ducks is three twos?
I flopped. I had pocket twos, and the flop came up nine, deuce, nine, so I actually flopped the full house. But
wow. I saw you at the first intermission, and you had like $47,000 in chips already.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I wasn't. There's like three or four people that had about the same amount, and we all made it, we all made it right pretty far. It's great. I think it was Jimmy, and originally from Maine, but now from Fort Myers, who knocked me out.
Yeah.
So he had pocket eight.
Gentleman named Chris knocked me out. I got $100 off.
Jimmy! The Jimmer.
The Jimster.
Well, it's good.
It was good fun. Great time had by all. Really, really good people. So it was we had a blast, as always. And then as I'm sitting there, and you heard my yawp. As JBJ smacked.
Oh, Grand
Slam. He's got the sweetest swing on the planet when he connects. He'll hit 200 for 4 months and then go on a tear and look like the greatest hitter in the world. And, man, has he been on the last couple of games.
He's a South Carolina Gamecock, SEC.
Ninth batter in the lineup, 7 RBI the last two games, and none bigger than last night. That Grand Slam.
Yeah, Chris, everybody's concentrating. We're all at our separate tables. All of a sudden, I hear this obnoxious yell. And my reaction isn't to turn my head toward the yell, because I know it's Pete. It's my reaction is to turn my head to the TV, because obviously something happened for the Red Sox.
I just said simply,
something
yes.
Good happened
for the
Red Sox.
Good for the Red Sox.
Said, yes. You were playing with it. Her name was Stephanie, I believe.
My first table, yes.
She was from Marshfield, Mass. I remember her saying that.
Yep.
And she said she was playing with you. She was a Red Sox fan.
She was. Yeah, there were a few of you guys around there last night.
Forever. You can't get rid of us. It's not going to happen. You can't get rid of the Yankee fans either.
So Jackie Bradley Jr., again, the Grand Slam, and a big win for the Red Sox over the Astros. Astros appear to be in trouble in more ways than one. Not only are they down 2-1, but they've been accused of cheating now. We got Spygate all over again.
They've been caught.
And it's not your guys
caught.
Doing the dirty work this time.
They've been caught, and they're probably going to get fined. But my buddy Danny Picard, as you like to say.
Picard.
But Danny is a great guy. I worked with him in Boston, and he's now working for the Metro. He broke the story that went viral, and ESPN picked it up. Everybody picked it up. He's going to join us at 3:30 and explain.
That's good.
How he got all this information and
but
what it means.
In a nutshell, a Houston Astros employee, was he feigning to be a member of the – he had a press credential and he was
No, I don't think he didn't have a press credential.
I thought he did.
No, he did not have a press credential.
Then
not
how did to, he not get to, down not there to be next in, to the dugout?
Not to be in that area.
Bullpen.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was out by the bullpen.
So he was out spying and – taking photos or recording or
videos.
And had a cell phone and he was relaying info, back to his dugout.
We'll get into the whole story, but, you know, this started with Cleveland. You know, in the NLDS, they were aware of it then, and it just kind of escalated. And actually,
ALDS.
Yahoo back on Tuesday reported that the Oakland A's back in August believed that members of the Astros were relaying stolen signs during game. Now, stolen signs, who cares? That's not the issue. And I think you're going to hear from Alex Cora about that, too. He kind of, you know, stealing signs is, if you let your signs get stolen, then you're stupid. But when you're directly, you know, filming from inappropriate area, I guess. Danny's going to explain it all. But anyway, the incident which led to the employee being removed by security expected to lead to a fine for the Astros, but it also expected to be a topic of wider discussion in next month's GM's meetings on the use of electronic devices.
It's kind of ironic that a Boston sports team was being spied on.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens more than you think.
New. Yeah.
We're always a victim.
Always a victim. Which is unusual because the Astros GM, Jeff Luhnow, he came over from the Cardinals a few years ago to rebuild this team.
Yeah, you remember the stuff that happened then?
He never changed, just he used the same password with the Astros.
You remember the
So somebody at the Cardinals goes, well, let me see if his Jeff Luhnow at MLB.com, if he changed his Astros password from what he had here at the Cardinals. And lo and behold, he did not. And so the Cardinals for 2 years were looking at the Astros notes.
Had every scouting report that the Astros had. Everyone. It was unbelievable. I remember amazed that story never got, it got play.
Guy lost his job over the Cardinals.
He lost his job, but I mean, just imagine that. See, that's why it's not as, if that was football, oh my God, all hell would have broke loose. Not that it didn't so much in that for a couple of weeks, but it was not as big had it been an NFL team. Let's put it that way.
Probably. So, I mean, what's going to happen to the Astros? They're just going to get fined?
They're going to get fined.
Just a fine? No big, that's nothing.
Well,
it's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, so. You know, it's, to me, it seems like a silly thing in this day and age, but whatever.
So,
I don't think Alex Cora is too concerned about it. I don't think AJ Hinch is too concerned about it either.
Yeah.
They're more concerned about, you know, getting, you know, Porcello starting tonight and Cole starting tonight, and
or they're acting like they're not concerned because they don't want, because they knew what was going down. Oh yeah, I just heard about it 2 minutes ago. Walking up here, I know nothing. Both of them said that.
Nothing.
That's a lie. That's a flat out lie. That's a flat out lie.
Well, I'm sure they were both aware of it during the Indians. He said it. They already admitted it. This is Houston's been going. This has been going on, and if you believe the A's, it's been going on since August.
That's why when the both managers last night played the I just heard about it walking up here card, I did not believe either of them. Liars. Wrong.
And sports fibs.
I did not stay up to the bitter end of the Dodgers game. They beat the Brewers 2-1, 13. Yep. That game got over like 2 a.m. Eastern time?
Yes, it did.
Woo! 5-hour game.
I made it to about 1:45.
I bailed before midnight on it. I did. And by the way, breaking news, this just in, Manny Machado is a filthy, dirty player. Absolutely dirty player.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with Christian Yelich. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, first of all, 2 games ago, Machado slid wide out at second base like you're not supposed to. And then last night, he's running to first base, hits the base with his right foot, and drags his left foot to kick, the first baseman, Jesus Aguilar. Kicks him right in an ankle.
Yep.
And he claims it was just an accident, playing hard. If that's playing dirty, then that's dirty. Yeah, that is dirty. Once you've already touched the base with your other foot, you don't need to drag your other foot to hit the base. You're trying to kick the guy in the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out dirty play. And for Christian Yelich to call you out, Christian Yelich is one of the most mild-mannered people in all of Major League Baseball.
Doesn't say boo. When's the last time you heard a quote from him?
Never!
He gets asked about being the MVP every day. Oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Trying to help our team win.
He called him a dirty play by a dirty player. And then
that's why the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw are going to lose today.
Again, I think they are.
Less than 15 hours after that 5-hour and 15-minute game last night.
Yeah.
Less than 15
quick turnaround.
Hours. Second longest NLCS game by time after game 5 in 1990 between the Mets and the Braves, which went 5 hours and 46 minutes.
That's just too long for me. I couldn't do it.
I
gave it the old college effort. I couldn't fall asleep.
I fell asleep at about 1:45.
Oh, man.
You on the couch?
No, my bed.
Oh.
When you're in your bed, that means you just...
I got home about 11.
You had enough and just...
I got home about 11, watched, and I rewatched the couple innings of the Red Sox that I didn't see playing poker, fast-forwarding through everything, and then just turned the other game back on. Then just slide in bed. So I was in bed for like an hour watching it, and then just...
I got home. My wife was watching. My wife was watching something on cable. I'm like, this is, by the way, I got to get a score. Give me the remote. And she did. She's great. I got to watch baseball.
You what? Asked for the remote?
I didn't necessarily ask. I said, give me the remote.
You have Duke TV. Give me the remote.
Yeah, I did. We're sitting together. We haven't seen each other all day. I've been working all day. Then I'm playing poker all night. I get home at 9:30. I'm talking to my wife. I'm sitting next to her and the dog on the couch, winding down for the evening. She's got some god-awful, horrible show on the Hallmark Channel or something. I said, give me the remote. I got to get a score on a baseball game.
Meredith Baxter Burney is killing her husband or...
touching stuff on that
becoming
channel.
Becoming a lesbian or doing whatever she does on Lifetime movies, you know.
Four TV movies. Yeah. Those are...
Yeah.
Those are always good.
They always seem to have, like, holiday stuff on, too.
See, that's
it's
why I
like,
to stay
it's always
longer,
like Christmas on the Hallmark Channel.
The longer
channel.
You stay into the poker tournament, so I get home after 11, my wife is in bed already with the dog.
Yeah.
So I went in the other room.
Good move.
Put the TV on.
Dog in your bed or dog's own bed on the floor? How do you work that?
Usually both, but mostly
in the bed.
Yeah. I have a dog bed on the floor, but my dog.
Yeah, she's
well,
pretty.
Well, my dog. Start the night there,
she
but
might
then
jump
she,
off in the middle of the
then
night.
Then she
and
says,
go to bed,
all right, enough of this nonsense. I'm up in the bed with you guys.
And my dog's opposite.
Yeah.
She
starts in the bed.
Starts in the bed.
Gets hot. Has
and
to
then
down.
Goes down to her bed.
Yeah.
But my dog is also 65 pounds, you guys are rolling around with a... Right.
I got a six-pound dog. If I roll over, I'll accidentally kill it. So every time I roll over, I wake up. So I don't get a solid night's sleep. I got to wake. I got to roll over, make sure I'm not crushing anybody. And then, because I roll over a lot.
My dog has complete control. I have no... Remember the Seinfeld episode when George had no hand? I have no hand.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
No upper hand.
My weekend's been planned for me for 4 days.
And 13 minutes, 32 seconds to get the first Seinfeld reference in today. Good job, guys.
Wow, that's a long time.
The dog dictates everything. Really does.
Yeah.
Really does. Positioning on the bed. Feeling frisky. You got to check in with the dog. Get off the bed.
That's too much information.
Well, it happens. Everybody knows it happens.
Chara, move.
Oh, it's brutal.
Get that wet nose on your foot. Get out of here. No.
You call it bopping what she does because she will take that big beer can snout of hers, let Scotty Terriers have it, boink. She gets doink, you know, like a boxer punching.
Yeah.
And then if you're
trying to get your attention.
Oh, yeah. So
poor
she
little
does.
Thing.
And then she goes, she gets a lot of attention. But if she has to be off the bed for some particular reason, she doesn't like it. She thinks she's missing out on something.
Spoiled rotten.
Gotta be thinks she's missing out on something.
Got to be up high where all the action
Tell
is.
Tell me that doesn't happen in your house. Do you have to shut the door?
No, that doesn't work either because then it's scratch, scratch,
yeah,
scratch.
I can deal with that. I can deal with that.
Well, okay, so a couple weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. Is that a dog barking? Left my dog outside all night.
Oh,
you
gosh.
Did not. You did not.
You're a horrible owner. What happened? How long was this? Like middle of the night? What?
Like 4:30 in the morning, I go outside and let her in. She got,
probably bitten by flies.
It was in an enclosed, screened-in porch. The fan is moving. Like, it's nighttime. She's not sweating or anything. You'd have thought this dog had been beaten the way she acted. She was...
she was upset. Now, what did your wife say when you said, honey,
I know what you said.
Out.
What are you going to do when the baby comes?
No, she was actually the one who woke up. I'm a heavy sleeper. I don't wake up.
Forgot to bring the dog in. I'm always checking. Like, if I don't see my dog, I'm like, I stop everything. And
I'm like, where's
the dog? Did it get out the front door? Is it getting eaten by an alligator? Did it get run over by a car? Yeah. I'm always on watch. Well, that just comes with parenthood, whether it be kids or the dog. You always got to know where everybody is.
And I don't have
it
upstairs anymore. The one thing she did a couple times, she locked herself in the closet. She locked herself in an extra bedroom because she shut the door by accident. That's happened where in the past I came home and she would be locked in a bedroom.
Yeah.
But there's another bed there, too, so it's not like she was suffering or anything. Like air conditioned or the heat was on if it was winter.
Beds and air conditioned everywhere for dogs.
But don't you feel, I mean, I know it's a little, but when you almost have to plan around the dog.
Yeah.
If your dog's big, I mean, our bed right now, she can't jump from the floor to the bed. She can come close. She would try, which would be annoying enough.
My wife can't even.
When you're
get
trying
in my
something
bed.
Else,
my bed's
it's
4
ridiculous.
Feet. My bed's one of those old fashioned ones, 4 feet.
You're
off
kidding
the ground.
Me?
Oh yeah. No, I'm not.
I'd be uncomfortable that high off the ground.
Oh, I like it.
I'd be cool with just a mattress.
I'm not a 3-year-old that's going to fall off.
He's got the braces on the
bed. Never fallen off the side of your bed?
No, but my wife has.
Right. And that's my point.
Like,
it's
we
it
have
happens.
These wooden steps that she...
For the dog? Yeah.
No, for her.
Oh. Really?
My wife's 5'1". The bed's 4 feet off the ground.
Wow. My wife's 5'6", I think.
Yeah. You think?
5'7".
How many years you've been married?
I'll be 8.
It's a homework assignment for you. 8 years. I think you should know how tall
11
your wife
days
is.
Will be 8 years.
I don't think that that's a must.
You should know things about your wife. You don't know how tall your wife
I
is?
I want to know.
I know roundabout. She's in that 5 foot, 5 foot two
between
range.
5 and 6 foot.
Yeah,
that's
somewhere.
Not do it.
First number's a 5.
All I know is today.
What it's worth.
And I showed Craig the picture. I'll bring you in one tomorrow too. She made from scratch homemade cinnamon apple cider donuts. Before I left for work, they were in the oven. She just sent me a picture of them.
Homemade apple cider.
Cinnamon donuts.
Wow.
From scratch.
That's very autumn-ish.
Sounds delightful.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
So, I'll bring you one in tomorrow.
Bring you some of
those. But yeah,
in. Good.
Anyway, yeah. Great game last night. Good win by the Dodgers. I still think the Brewers are winning that series. I think they will come back and win today. Kershaw will lose a heartbreaker, in my opinion, something like 4-3, 3-2. Or he gives it up early.
I feel like Kershaw's getting rocked tonight. I feel it coming. And he's going to be worthless if there's a game 7.
Dodgers are batting 205.
Well, the Dodgers are batting 205. 2 games ago, they're complaining about the fans booing one of their particular players.
They're lucky that fans even got to the game and showed up.
Yeah. it was Grandal, the catcher, was getting just booed. Because he's 2 pass balls and everything, and his teammates were sticking up for him. I think it was Enrique Hernandez that said, no, the fan, you got there's a lot going on for catcher. You got to give him a break. And then he had to correct that the next day and say, no, I wasn't really ripping on the fans. Yeah, look, L.A. fans are very fickle. All right? They're out there to have a good time, to see, to be seen, all that kind of stuff. But they want you to win it all. And if you don't, if you're a loser, or if you are losing, they'll turn on you fast. That's all I know.
I think LA fans are second to Atlanta fans as the worst.
Huh.
The worst.
You know what?
I think Dodger fans are the most out of all the Dodgers, Lakers, LA Kings. Probably LA Kings are the most knowledgeable fans. Laker fans are morons on the whole, morons, and don't really care about being there. And Dodger fans, I used to have a lot more respect for Dodger fans, but now it's coming more of that Hollywood crap again.
The Los Angeles soccer scene, top 5 in this country, really is. You put it up there with Seattle, with Atlanta.
Yep.
I mean, it is a great soccer town.
We're talking MLS, right?
Galaxy and LAFC, they both have great followings.
Well, think about the Latino population of both
LA
and Houston and all that. Those teams are. But the only time I paid attention to them is when David Beckham came in to L.A. Years past his prime.
Dodgers, by the way, just reading this, tickets are, if we can get there, tickets are available for today's game, which begins at 2:05 local time.
2:05.
For the Dodgers game?
Yep.
I mean, we cannot get there in time.
We couldn't get there in time.
No.
Not even on the Concord.
No.
No.
Couldn't get there in time. But you, if you're out there listening to us, 99.3ESPN.com, and you're near Chavez Ravine, you can get tickets and walk up to the game.
So I'm new to purchasing my own plane tickets within the last 6-7 years.
Your wife has been your secretary for
you? No, no. I mean, before this, I was still in school. My mom and dad would buy my plane tickets for me.
I don't do it anymore.
I fly to Atlanta. I've flown to Dallas. Mm-hmm. I've flown to Charlotte. I'm not taking long flights. I'm staying pretty much in the southeast quarter. I'm going to Europe next summer.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to fly across the Atlantic?
Usually
$1,000.
If you buy it enough in advance, a lot less than going from.
No,
that's at least $1,000.
No, I'm going next July. It's $1,300.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Round
per
trip.
Seat.
Yeah.
Per seat.
Right, that's
bringing the whole fam?
That's $650, but that's $650.
It's ridiculous, though.
Are you bringing the whole family?
Yeah.
And you got to buy baby seats?
No, I only got to buy one. Right? I'll have another one under 2.
Yeah, but that means one of you's got to hold a kid for 9 hours.
She'll be fine.
Are you flying direct?
One of you not named Chris.
Yeah.
You have to change planes somewhere.
No, Miami to Paris.
Miami to Paris direct?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Oui, oui.
I tell you, so you're talking about $650 each way, which if you got a direct
highway
flight,
robbery is what it is.
The whole airline thing.
Yeah, but Chris, think about it this way.
And then they're going to charge me for my luggage?
Yeah, but Chris, if you were to buy a ticket with 3 or 4 days in advance to go from Fort Myers, say, to New York, it would cost you the same amount.
Yeah, but that's where you get ripped. I mean,
I know,
if you got a funeral or you got to go somewhere, that's where they really jam it to you.
Well, it's supposed to give you bereavement. They're supposed to give you something for that.
Yeah, another Seinfeld episode.
I know. I got to show the death certificate. I know.
They're, I think they should do it like the cruise lines. If it's 3 days before a cruise and there's an empty room, you can get a sweet discount.
Exactly, because that seat
it's
is
going to be empty no matter what.
It's not like you're going to.
Chris, here's the thing.
Although, when's the last time you've seen an empty seat on an airline, though? I mean, they're always packed.
Here's the thing, though, Chris. You got a direct flight, and I know it's a pain in the butt, and I know they're going to charge you for luggage, whatever. But once you know you're on the plane and do not have to transfer or stop again, it does make a difference. I hate changing over plane. I hate not flying direct. Hate it. And especially if you're going to Europe on that kind of flight, you'll be okay. I know it sounds awful, but you'd be much worse. Trust me, if you and your family had to switch planes in some other part of Europe or at LaGuardia or at JFK or something before going to Paris, like a lot of flights have to, you'd be even more miserable.
Yeah, but you don't see a lot of toddlers on those flights.
No.
There's a reason.
No, I'm going to have a one-year-old. People are going to love me sitting around.
You're going to have a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and it is going to be rough.
I'd see that, and I'd give, even though you're not supposed to tip the waitresses or the stewardesses on the plane, start bringing every bottle of vodka you have.
Which, by the way, also when you're flying, here's a little fun fact. The airplane bottles, you can take those through security.
You can.
So just go to the liquor store up the road and buy yourself a few for a normal price, and you're not paying.
You have to put in a plastic bag.
Yeah. But that's easy.
Because it's less than 4 ounces.
Kidding me? Yeah. I'm going to be laid drunk on that flight.
You're going to be no help to your wife whatsoever. She's going to have two screaming kids. You're going to be passed out.
That's great.
It's going to be a nightmare.
Are you going first class?
No.
This is economy.
Okay.
$1,300 for economy.
First of all, I looked into business class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
that's $4,000 a seat.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You can do your whole family for $4,000.
No, thank you. I want to have some money in my pocket when we get there.
Yeah. Man, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's a rough life, man.
But you'll be okay on a direct flight. Your neighbors around
you. Here's the other thing. He'll be bored to
tears. You with the money roll. No, because you're going to have, you can download movies. They're going to have chargers there. They have the internet. You'll be fine. It'll fly. It's nothing like it used to be.
I know, Chris.
Nothing like
it used to be. He'll be bored to tears.
No, he won't. As long as you can look at his
own movies. I've gone to Europe twice.
Yeah. Without kids, by the way.
Right, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
Without kids.
When you're on your own and doing your thing. Every time I've flown to Europe, I've been by myself.
I did Atlanta to Germany, I think.
Yeah.
That was like a 9-hour flight.
Yeah.
But, you know, you bang out about 4 movies, you're good to go.
That's what I do. And I make sure you download the movies just in case the internet doesn't work, so you have them. You know what I'm saying? On your phone?
Yeah, download them in case
you don't need internet to watch them.
Good tip.
I've got one movie downloaded on my laptop. You know what it is?
It's not Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Age of Ultron.
Oh, nice.
The one movie Craig has to see.
Yeah, much more appreciation of Vision.
Is that the one with Vision?
Yes, that's the one. Vision saves the day.
He doesn't save anything. He's weak. Causes more problems for other people.
No, he does
always
not.
Always got to rescue him because he's always hurt. He's always hurt.
He's not always hurt.
He's like Gronk. He's always hurt. All right, anyway. Speaking of Gronk, we'll talk some NFL football. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Mark Duffner, the defensive coordinator of the Buccaneers now. John Gruden is being asked if he's now tanking. He didn't take too kindly to that.
Ryan Tannehill was back at practice today. Did not throw, and now moments ago, Adam Gase just said that he will be out Sunday versus the Lions. Brock Osweiler, the Brockster. The
Brocktober continues.
Brocktober continues as Brock Osweiler will start against
Matt Patricia,
the Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions. Yes. All right. So we got all NFL to be talking about. Take care of that. As we mentioned, your buddy Danny Picard will be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. He was the one that broke the story on the Astros getting caught cheating against the Red Sox and the Indians possibly. So all that coming up. It's Sheeman and Shepherd. And don't forget, we'll also be giving away a $50 gift card from Amazon. We'll get somebody else registered to go see Golic and Wingo up in Bristol, Connecticut. We'll pay for the flights and the hotel on that deal. So, as usual, the Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab, too. We got a lot going on. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
Hey, Chris, 239 texting in on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line that you should have your kids watch Snakes on a Plane. That'd be a good movie for your kids on the flight to Paris.
What's that about?
Just, you know, it's a good family movie, a feel-good movie. Go watch it.
Actually, some great lines by Samuel L. Jackson on that.
It was one of those movies where when you saw the trailer, you go, really?
Almost like Sharknado. It's like, this is, really?
But Sharknado makes fun of itself.
Samuel L. Jackson is classic. And
okay, see,
you,
I never saw it. I was hoping that they wouldn't take themselves seriously. This wasn't a real movie.
This was a cash grab for Samuel L. Jackson.
What to fine with, right?
He had to ad-lib half the lines in that movie. It is too funny.
Well, all he had to do was throw MF in every other sentence, and that was his ad-libbing.
So freaking funny.
All right, yeah, good movie.
Die Hard 2, that's fun for the whole family too while you're flying.
Well, let's just go watch Airplane for a little comedy. Well,
that, yeah.
Not going to watch any movie with the title Die, with the word Die in the title while up in the air.
It's probably good. It's probably good.
Although I did watch the Leonard Skinner documentary.
Yeah.
While I was on leave last week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
It was excellent.
Is Freebird not the greatest song of all time? Yes.
No.
You mean no?
No, it's not.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Actually, no. You favorite song of all? Best song of all time? Probably go Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
When's that movie come out? When does that movie come out?
Is that next week?
Next month.
I am
next
going
month?
To see that movie.
That movie looks spectacular.
I can't wait to see that. That's going to be great.
That looks.
They
very
were
good.
So unique.
Yeah,
their sound was so unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. You saw, everybody's seen the clip. You know, Bohemian Rhapsody, when it first came out, they had a hard time getting on the radio because it was like 6 minutes long.
I know.
No radio station would play it.
Yep.
Much like a lot of radio stations would never play Stairway to Heaven or Freebird or a lot of early Yes music because it was too long.
Doors had a lot of long songs, too.
Doors, yeah, exactly. That's why.
That's some short ones, too.
My fire, yeah. See, I always thought Touch Me, Babe. Oh. Touch Me. It's way too short.
I know.
I'm like, Jim, man, give me two more verses.
Well, Jim might have been drunk when they were recording it, so he had to
but that's a guy,
wrap it up.
That's a guy that could have been an opera singer if he wanted to be.
The guy was awesome. Jim Morrison,
just
classic.
Incredibly talented.
Love that guy.
Anyway.
All right. John Gruden firing back at critics who are asking, hey, are the Raiders tanking? Oh, you know, they got the horrible record. They've got the 1-5 record. The rumors of players being on the trading block. Derek Carr clearly was crying on the football field this past weekend.
Yeah, in pain.
I know, but still, there's no crying in football.
Oh, it is when you get hit 19 times in a game and sack 6.
Oh,
I would have taken my helmet and thrown it down. It's like, that's it.
Yeah. Well, he's asked if they're tanking. He goes, we're not getting up at 4 a.m. every day to tank. We're going to keep this process going. We're moving forward, and we're trying to win football games. So take it at his word. Now, Raiders fans, now, Pete, you'll love this. Mm. There's already a countdown clock to the end of his 10-year contract. It's 9 years, 13 weeks, 3 days, several hours, and I forget the last time. And then it also has how much money has been spent of his $100 million contract. He's earned $6.61 million, $92 million left. I mean, it goes down to the penny. I won't bore you with the details, but
I told you he'd be lucky to make it through 5 years, and now I'm not so sure he's going to get through five. I know he's not going to get through five. He'd be lucky to get through two because I think the guy's lost it, and I think even – he's not that old. I think the game has passed him by. I don't think he knows how to handle today's players. He doesn't know how to travel. Doesn't know how to get to London. He has to do research.
Does he not know how to get along with today's player, or can he not find his kind of player?
I think both. And he had his kind of player, except he traded him away or let him get away for whatever reason that was, and then complained that it's hard to find an elite pass rusher. Everything he has said and done is wrong.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just saying he got two first rounders for Khalil Mack, right? What if he spins that off and get that kid from Houston or whatever, or maybe gets Bosa out of Ohio State, and it doesn't have to pay him the $100 million that he just would have paid Khalil Mack. All right, what if that's a good start in the right direction?
Because you pay the established guy. You don't let a guy like that go.
And you're probably right.
You don't let a guy like that go. You just don't. And it just seemed to be the miscommunication right from the get-go, right from May. And this is not, didn't happen like right before preseason. This was going on. We were talking about this in the spring.
But right or wrong, I'm convinced it was so messed up that it had to be a strategy. It's like he never intended to give $100 million to a defensive end. He wanted to go draft a cheap one next year. He's got 9 more years mm-hmm. on his deal. I think that's his move.
His move cannot be saying rebuild at this. You can't do that. This team was 12-4 2 years ago. But Derek Carr was in the Pro Bowl.
I think he can, because if you're the owner, does the owner, and this is a serious question.
Mark Davis.
Does Mark Davis have enough money to buy John Gruden out of this contract?
First of all, it's creepy, Mark Davis. Second of all, you're right. No, and Adam Schefter brought that up yesterday. Probably not, but there's going to come a time, you know, not this year, but what if this team, what if they finish 3-13?
But my point is, okay, so he won't be bought out of his contract this year. Creepy right. Al Davis doesn't have 90 million. Mark, and remember, Mark Davis.
Creepy right. Al was grave. Yeah.
I was creepy too.
Yeah.
But his contract is backloaded as well, where a majority right. of his money mm-hmm. will come to exactly. Gruden when he gets the Nevada state taxes, not right. the California
well,
state taxes.
Maybe,
so
by
it's
then
not
it's
even.
Too late. Maybe it's
not
too late
even.
Then.
But it's not even 10 a year. It's not broken yeah. out each year's $10 million.
Yeah.
So you could think that it's only 90 that he has to get paid out. No, it's probably like 94
yeah.
that he has to get paid out at the
All
end of
I
this
know,
season.
They go back to back losing seasons. You know, they're getting hammered this year. I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. And they come out of the gate next year and the same. It's maybe a little bit better. Or it might be worse. You don't know. It might be worse.
Can't be worse than 1-5.
He could lose his team this year.
Well, he's going to rebuild it. So it doesn't matter. If people aren't
no,
on board,
not
they're
according
gone.
To Derek Carr.
Well, let me tell you, Marshawn Lynch ain't going to be there in 2 years. No
Derek
matter
Carr,
what.
No, you're right, not rebuilding so him. On what? Trade me. That's the next thing.
Well, that might be fine.
Hello, Miami.
John Gruden did go through a few quarterbacks
oh,
in Tampa.
Don't tempt me. Oh. I would love Derek Carr in South Beach.
To Chris's mm-hmm. point earlier, and whether creepy Mark Davis can afford Khalil Mack and what, we did a story here 3 weeks ago. There was a story out because in the NFL, for guaranteed contracts, you have to put that money in escrow. And that would have meant a $90 million check. He may not have been able to do that. He's only worth about 700 mil. He is not a billionaire. And for him to stroke a check for 90 million, that's a good chunk of his wealth. And you take cash flow and operating costs into consideration. There was the story out that he maybe did not have the money to sign Khalil Mack, which is unheard of in this day, but it very well could have been the case.
The thing that's really frustrating is, and I get it, and this is the problem I have sometimes with coaches who are at ESPN or NFL Network and go back to and coaches at NFL Network and ESPN have a hard time ripping other coaches, even the ones that you know are not going to go back into the game. He is not coming under half the criticism that he should be coming under. I mean, there's been spurts here and there, but everybody's afraid because they've either worked with him at some point or played for him at some point. The guy's done a horrible job so far. Horrible. And I'm surprised I'm just surprised at the lack of imagination. The guy who's supposed to be, you got a quarterback like Derek Carr and a pretty decent offense 2 years ago, and it's mush. Except for the Cleveland game, they have stunk up the
joint.
But
it was bad last year as well, and Gruden wasn't at the
not
at the helm then.
Not as bad as this.
No, I know it wasn't, yeah. But Amari Cooper was just as bad last year.
Let me tell you, no way Jack Del Rio with this team this year, first of all, Khalil Mack is there, and second of all, no way Jack Del Rio has that team playing that poorly right now. No way. No way. He got screwed because Creepy Mark got caught up in the sexiness of the name John Gruden.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Jack Del Rio would be the coach still there this year if Gruden had not said, I'm coming out of the booth. I do agree with that. What were they?
After six weeks last year, they were 2-4
mm-hmm. instead of 1-5.
Yeah, so.
But I'm looking at it right now.
They look awful.
And that's with Khalil Mack.
Their wins were over the Titans and the Jets, and their losses, they put up 10 points, 10 points, mm-hmm. 17 points, 16 points.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like this year.
Yeah, it does. It's very
similar.
Except
with the exception of the Cleveland game.
Well, I don't even rule the Cleveland game because in my eyes, that's a loss because the NFL screwed the Browns out of that with a bad call.
But that was, 45-42?
Yeah.
I remember
something like 43-40. It was right there, a 3-point game. But week 2, 2017, the Raiders beat the Jets 45-20. So I mean, they did have 1 week in their first six where they had a big offensive explosion, just like this year. They had 1 week in the first six where they had a big offensive explosion.
Yep.
But to agree with you, Pete, about how he handled Khalil Mack in the offseason, remember, before, or was it the beginning of training camp, he goes in front of reporters and says, I haven't talked to the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now that there's an issue there. If you don't want to pay a guy because he's asking for too much money,
talk to him.
That's okay. Yeah. That's fine. That's just, we don't have the value on you that you put on yourself.
Right.
But to not have any lines of communication with the guy or anybody in his camp, there's an issue there.
Yeah, I think that was poorly handled, and that opened up Pandora's box where everybody could start ripping on John Gruden from day one. Now the season starts out poorly, and now everybody's pouring on right now. We can continue to talk about this. Shad Khan not buying Wembley Stadium. I guess that's good news for Jags fans. Good. I don't know. We'll discuss that. We have more details on that are leaked out on the revived XFL. We'll have that. And Lane Kiffin will tell you who he's offered his latest scholarship to. It's a good one. All that to coming up, plus Sound Street next. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street is brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples. Go to 99.3ESPN.com. Complete the Optimal Male Performance Questionnaire. Get $2,400 off your visit. Started off with Jackie Bradley Jr. Now picture Pete Shepard playing poker on the dog track and all of his excitement. Well, this happened to make it 8-2 on ESPN Radio.
Osuna the sets and fires. Swing and a high fly ball right field. Reddick back. Reddick at the track. Turning. Looking. Out of here. Jackie Bradley Jr. A grand slam. He unloads over the right field wall. The slow trot around the bases. And the Red Sox now lead it. It is 8-2. Wow.
Mook Giambi with the call. Alex Cora on having the Yankees beat them at home in the ALDS really lit a fire under his team.
I do feel that that ALDS, we grew up as a team going to game three. The sky was falling in Boston, you know. It seems like all of a sudden, you know, we weren't good. And they put a great game in game three, finished the job in game four, and come into this environment. It's not easy to win here. This is a place that they feed up the crowd. They're very comfortable here offensively. And then to show up today and play the way we did, I'm very proud of them.
All right. On the other side, the National League Championship Series. Cody Bellinger has been awful lately. 1-for-29. Mm-hmm. Massive slump. 13th inning. Tie game. Dodgers Brewers. He walks it off with a single on ESPN Radio.
Guerra has the sign. Glancing back at Machado at second. And now the 3-2, and a swing and a base hit into right field. Machado around third. Yelich comes up throwing. It is not in time. Cody Bellinger walks it off for the Dodgers in the 13th inning.
Dan Shulman with a call. I Love L.A. playing in the background. Good times at Chavez Ravine.
Who sings that?
You would have to ask him. I could picture him. It's a good snappy tune. I can't think of it. I'll look it up. And I'm going to kick myself for not being able to tell you. Meanwhile, you heard Manny Machado was able to score.
Is it Randy Newman?
Yes, Randy
Newman.
Thank you very much. He's a one-hit wonder. Actually, I think he has one hit wonder. He's a two-hit wonder.
Randy Newman? Yeah. He's got about 10 hits. Are you kidding me?
He's a guy who sings in Toy Story?
Yes.
You Got a Friend in Me?
Well, yes.
Yeah, the second one.
He's got an Oscar. This Short People?
I forgot about Short People.
Short People, guys.
That's politically
incorrect.
Think
about the lyrics to that song.
Yeah, you can't play that today.
Yeah, you can.
No, you
can't
cannot.
Say Short People?
Short People got no reason to live.
They got little hands.
Well, I didn't say that.
That's what the lyrics are.
You can't say Short People?
No, I don't know. You can't sing about them not being able to live.
I've heard that. I still hear the song.
Where? What station plays that song?
I don't know, but I've heard it.
Phone. Anyway. Manny Machado has been making some dirty moves, kicking first baseman's legs, sliding wide at second base, Finally, Christian Yelich, the young, tame, mild-mannered Christian Yelich.
Former Marlin.
Former mm-hmm. Marlin and soon-to-be National National League MVP. He called him out. He said Machado is a dirty player.
Everyone has their own opinion. He's a player that has a history of those types of incidents. You know, one time's an accident, repeated over and over and over again. You're just a dirty player. It's a dirty play by a dirty player, and that's what it is. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him as a player, but you can't respect someone who plays the game like that.
What does that mean, I have respect for him as a player, but you can't respect a guy that does that?
It means he respects his ability as an athlete, right. But he does not respect
him. I'm all or nothing. You either you do or you don't.
Emotion.
That's how I am. Manny Machado talking about getting tangled with Jesus Aguilar at first base.
Travis Shaw said it was a dirty play. Yelich said it was a dirty play by a dirty player. I wonder what your response would be to those.
I play baseball. I go out there, I try to win for my team. So if that's their comments, those are their comments. So, you know, I can't do nothing about that.
I mean, you saw the replay probably. So his foot was in the bag, trying to get over him, hit his foot. That's dirty. I mean, I don't know.
Yes, it was dirty.
What you want.
You punk. You know, and that's what just put me over the edge on this moron. It's the smarmy little smirk that he's got when he's up there in the post game really got on my nerves.
Mm. Yes. Grinded my gears.
He
schmarmy,
so
huh?
Yes.
Shided your chaps.
Chapped my hide.
That's that little.
I am not a fan of Manny Machado. I will rip him for the rest of my career.
I think he's misunderstood.
I do not.
Just kidding.
We'll see what happens when he's a Yankee next year. See if Pete changes his tune on him.
Yeah, he'll be all respect.
That was a dirty. It was a dirty play.
And
you're right.
It's been all series.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe I need to look closer. All career. John Bosa talking about his son Nick. You know, he's bailing on Ohio State to get ready for the NFL following his abdominal injury. He says the decision was not easy, but it's the right one. On Golic and Wingo.
As a family. Just a horrible decision and just a heartbreaking decision for us because it's, you know, as you know, I think we were going to witness one of the most amazing years a defensive lineman's had here. And obviously Nick was focused his, you know, part of his goals was, you know, to see how far we could get through down the playoffs. And so it was a very difficult decision. But obviously as a family and to look at the repair and for his future health and continuing his career, this is the right decision to make.
And I actually agree with it, but yeah. We had discussion on that yesterday as well. Could continue to do so. I think there's a valid point to what Chris says too. Look, Ohio State's one of a handful of teams that can win a national championship, and that maybe changes. It's not like an Indiana player who may or may not be in the something.com bowl.
Yeah, I would not have a problem if this were Ed Oliver at Houston.
Okay,
I would have no issue.
Nowhere.
I'm telling you, and Finney was on this morning, either he was on Get Up or someone, I heard him, and he's like, you know, enough of this rah-rah, root for Notre Dame stuff, and he could have been any school, about, he's like, look, coaches bail all the time and leave players hanging. He goes, you're going to see a lot more of this.
Yes, you are.
Going to see a lot more of this, and not just from the superstar players, but the guys who think they're going to be second, third, fourth round picks are going to do the same thing, and you can't blame them because there's no loyalty.
And
the coaches don't care about them graduating. They care about wins, and the coaches care about their next money and their next job.
And I'll clarify where I'm coming from. I don't like it as a fan of college football.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not going to hold this against Nick Bosa and say he's not a team player or anything like that. I understand mm-hmm. where his decision, his thought process is on this. I just don't like it.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
We'll continue to talk about that. Also, Lane Kiffin's latest scholarship offer and more on John Gruden on whether he's tanking the season at Oakland. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.